Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Glad you tuned in today. Happy Thursday to you. For some, it probably feels like a Monday. Either way, I pray that you had a very Merry Christmas and a happy, healthy New Year celebration. Well, I am excited about today's show. We're going to talk about prayer today. In fact, we're devoting all of next week to different aspects of prayer. But today's kind of a unique show. I'm going to take your calls. I want to hear what the Lord taught you in this last year, what you're going to take with you into the next year. Got some books to give away. We're going to hear clips from some of our favorite guests talk about their insights on prayer. And so, for instance, you'll hear from Tommy Barnett, Mark Batterson, Lisa Bevere, Jim Cimbala, Will Davis Jr., and Eric Ludi. And so real quick, though, before we get going, I want you to know we've got a promotion going on here at Faith Radio. And this really is meant twofold, two reasons. One is so that we can pray specifically for you, but two, so that we can really hear from you as to what kind of programming will best help you in the days ahead. So if you go to our website, myfaithradio.com, you'll see on that banner page on the homepage, My Prayer for 2014 is. Just click on that and tell us what your prayer is. We'll keep it confidential. But when we get a sense of the concerns of your heart, really helps us to choose programming that's really most beneficial to you. But also, we are a praying team. We love to pray. We get together every Thursday morning and we pray. And that we will pray for you specifically. So if you want to help us with just shaping our programming, but also give us a sense of how we can be praying for you and standing with you, you can check out our website, myfaithradio.com. My prayer for 2014 is. Okay, so before we hear this first clip from Eric Ludi, he's going to be talking a bit about taking our thoughts captive. Here's my question for you. What did the Lord teach you this past year? What wisdom will you take with you into the coming year? We've got five copies of Kurt Bjorklund's amazing book, Prayers for Today. It's a year-long prayer journey book. Five copies, compliments of Moody Publishers, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. On your mark, get set, go. I'm telling you, this idea of taking your thoughts captive is a battle each one of us has to face. Nobody can fight it for us. And there really will be no victory without a renewed mind. So we're going to hear from Eric Ludi. I'll take your calls. We'll talk a little more about it in a moment. Here's Eric Ludi.
We have two dimensions to our life, and we see it come out in Scripture, where it says, resist not evil, and then it says, resist the devil, and he will flee. And so it seems a little confusing at first, but that's when you look at it just upon the surface. But when you understand the nature of God, you realize, for instance, when Christ came, it says he came not to judge, but to save. And so we see this, and it says, well, judge not, lest ye be judged. However, it says the judgment of the devil has come. Jesus came to bring judgment to something when he came to this earth, but it wasn't to us. And so when it's talking about that he came not to judge, but to save, it's talking about he came not to judge us, but he did come to judge something. And he came to judge the devil's works, and the flesh and sin. He came to do a very specific work, and he obliterated it. However, he showed, it's the way a shepherd is. A shepherd has a staff, and he uses that staff to protect his sheep, but to clobber the wolves. Mm. And in our soul, God's given us a staff. He's given us a resolve, a faith, the word of God, and we are to use it wisely to protect and to care for those things which are entrusted to our care. You know, and there's certain aspects of even our soul that we must protect and guard. And there's aspects of our family life around us. When you're a shepherd in a church, you're responsible for protecting. When you're a shepherd in a family, you're responsible for protecting. However, there's also things you take that staff and you knock it upside the head. You knock the enemy, the wolf, the bear, upside the head. And you cannot just allow anything to enter your mind or anything to enter your soul and just call it all equal. All things are not equal in God's eyes. And so therefore, we must measure things with the integrity of Scripture as our guide. And when something is of the enemy camp attempting to knock and enter our soul, enter our mind, create doubt, create confusion, create disorder, clobber it upside the head. We take it captive to the will of Christ Jesus. We guard our hearts to not allow this entry.
Wow, well, well said. Answer this for me, Eric. What happened to the quake in my boots fear of God in our day? Where is that?
Well, We've lost the majesty of God. We've lost the grandeur and the fullness of his beauty, his purity, his holiness. When you begin to downplay the holiness and the righteousness of God as a way of escaping from the commission of the Christian life. Because God doesn't stutter. When he says, be holy as I am holy, be perfect as I am perfect. And he gives us a remedy for this. He doesn't just commission ourselves to somehow rise up and do it. However, the standard is still there. And when you recognize the holiness of our God, that it has not been diminished to reach men, it has not been diminished to rescue us. That rescue plan involves him maintaining the integrity of his person, the integrity of his holiness, the integrity of his purity, and spotless, unblemished person the entire time. When you see it, you behold it, it's not just holy are you God. It's holy, holy, holy are you God. One of the keys to worship throughout the ages is what's called meditation, biblical meditation, not transcendental or some Hindu thing, but it's biblical meditation. And the concept is beholding. For instance, if we have beautiful sunsets here in Colorado, and if I took a peek outside the window and I looked at a beautiful sunset, and I told everyone inside the house, I said, you wouldn't believe how beautiful the sunset is. They said, tell me. And I describe it to them, and they try and whip up a praise for it. Oh, how beautiful that must be. It doesn't work. You see, they must come to the window and see it for themselves. And when you see it for yourself, did you know that no one has to twist your arm to say something nice about a sunset? No one has to say it, worship it, praise it. It comes out naturally. And so often in church, we have a form of worship, but not the beholding that leads to true worship. And when you behold God, you tremble before him. When you behold him, you praise him. When you behold him, you bow down on your face. This is the natural result. We don't have to tell people, get down on your face. People get down on their face when they behold. And so our job as Christians is to lead them to the window to see the grandeur of God. And then suddenly the fear of God will return once again to our day and age.
Boy, what a timely word. That was Eric Luthe. What we're doing today is playing clips from some of our favorite guests speaking on the topic of prayer. You want to see this next year change? You want to see mountains move and go into the sea? Become a person of prayer. I've got 5 copies, compliments of Moody Publishers, of Prayers for Today. It's a year-long prayer journey book by Kurt Bjorklund. And so my question to you is this. What did the Lord teach you this past year that you'll carry with you? What wisdom are you carrying with you into 2014? 877-933-2484. We've got Patty calling in from North Dakota. Patty, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
What I learned is to be in prayer for my children always. Kind of, you know, chokes me up even now thinking about it. But, you know, we want them to be in heaven when we go to heaven too. And with this world being the way it is, you just have to be constantly, and I mean constantly, praying for them. I mean, every minute when I, you know, my mind isn't on work or whatever, I am sending out prayers or saying something to the Lord about my children and my grandchildren, because the time is short. I really do feel that we need to be out there and just be praying for them and standing in the gap for them.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more, Patty. And I think your burden that I hear in your heart is God's burden, because that enemy wants to take out this younger generation. And may we all be interceding for these precious young souls. I think it's harder than ever to be a young person in today's culture. So I echo that, and may God fuel your prayers mightily. You get a copy of Kurt's book. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Bless you. 877-933-2484. We've got Pat calling in from Maplewood. Pat, welcome.
Thank you. You know, one thing, my past, you know, still comes up as far as my experience and the prejudice, how it seems to want to filter in that instant fear. But I do know that God has been so faithful to me and has been my faithful provider. And the one verse that just came to my mind when I called was that he would give us his peace which passeth all understanding, that keeps our heart, to keep our heart in mind, in tune, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I need to remain disciplined in reading his word, but I also read in his word and I see how he has, you know, set the mother-in-law against the daughter against let's see, the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and these people against each other in the family. And I think, well, you know, I'm what I'm going through isn't so out of sorts.
Well, you know, Pat, he is faithful, and he's the Prince of Peace. And so I know, I've learned that when we lack peace, we have to retrace our steps and get it again, because I think so often we walk around with an absence of peace, thinking the enemy can just get away with that. But he can't, because that's one of the promises to God, from God to us. And so I just know when you're walking in a place where you're lacking peace, it's either the Spirit saying, don't go that way, go this way, or we just need to get before God and find out so that he puts our thinking right and our perspective right. Even in a lost and dying world, peace is our gift. And so may he just overflow you with peace in the days ahead. Thanks so much for calling. 877-933-2484. What did the Lord teach you this last year that you're taking with you in the days ahead? Katarina, one of my favorite listeners, I love hearing from her, calling from British Columbia. Welcome. Glad you called today.
Oh, amen. Amen. Thank you. A few things that I learned. To go when the Holy Spirit leads me, even through battles. I'm a people pleaser by nature. And even through the huge battles that I had to go through this year, amen, praise the Lord, and he led me through, and he said, don't fear.
That's right.
And I learned to abide in Jesus and rest in him.
Yeah.
And the best thing I learned this year is having worship songs singing throughout my house constantly. What peace it brought my household.
Indeed, Katarina, thank you so much for calling. You'll get a copy of Kurt's book. And this is, I love these testimonies, because it just shows you as we walk with God, he transforms us along the way. He teaches us, and we're not the same. We're shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Yvonne is calling in from Duluth. Yvonne, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Glad to be on the air and to tell you what I have learned this year, and that is to be in continual prayer with the Lord every day. And I can attribute that really to your talk radio. And so I'm just so thankful for the talk radio, because it has taught me that it's a daily, minute by minute sometimes, walk with the Lord.
Indeed. And we need each other. We're in this together. But
absolutely.
Oh, wow.
And faith, you know, how important faith is. And it's just my burden has been lightened. And I am a churchgoer, but I also agree with that, you know, that has to also be something, you know, it's not just church on Sunday. It's every day.
Indeed.
Walking.
Well, Yvonne, thank you so much for your call. You'll get a copy of this Prayers for Today book. I think you'll enjoy it. Just will deepen your prayer life for sure.
Well, thank you so much for being on the air.
Thank you so much. God bless your day. 877-933-2484. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Our emphasis today and all of next week, actually, is on prayer. And so we'll be playing clips from some of our favorite guests today during the show. And in between, we're just asking you, what did the Lord teach you this last year that you're taking with you into the next year? And we've got Rosemond. Am I having that name right? Rosemond, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, hi, Susie.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Happy New Year to you.
And to you. What did the Lord teach you this last year?
You know, the Lord taught me that sometimes he calms the storm and at times he calms the child.
Yeah.
I've been married for 15 years and my husband and I were going through tumultuous times. And it was really tough, because at times I thought that the church liked dealing with easy issues, you know. So at times the church doesn't help deal with some of the hard issues that we face. So here I didn't know whether to leave or to go. And I thought the easiest thing was to leave. But then we have these three beautiful kids. And I'm thinking that I don't think that was what the Lord's purpose was when he brought us together. So it was a lot of uncertainty, not knowing whether to come or to go. But at the end of the year, I realized that, you know what, God is good. And somehow he gave me the strength every day to wake up and live and have a good life for my kids and my husband, even though things were bad. So at the end of the year, I'm thinking, Lord, you know, I started this year off thinking that things were going to be great. But at the end of the year, things didn't go the way I thought. So he didn't calm the storm as I wanted to, but he calmed me, and he showed me that he's always there, even though things may not work as we want to. So,
boy, he gives us strength when we need it. As you're talking, Rosemond, the verse that came to me is Psalm 18:35. It says, you give me your shield of victory. Your right hand sustains me. you stoop down to make me great. I think that's such a picture because on one hand, he fights for you and brings the victory. He does sustain you, as you say, but then he also lifts you up above a battle that you could never stand above on your own. He is with you. Victory is yours. And I pray that you start to see answers to your prayers in the days ahead. Rosamond, thanks for calling.
Amen, Susie, and thanks for the sudden day and end of the day blessings.
I say
them all the time. Thank you for the Lord speaking through you and helping lift our spirit. So God bless you.
Mm, thank you so much for that word. Appreciate that. Okay, here's a reading from that Kurt Bjorklund book I told you about. I actually bought a few copies for mentors and friends because it's full of ancient prayers from the 12th century and paraphrased prayers from Scripture. And this is one of Kurt's own prayers. And listen to this. He says, Father, we live in a world that often identifies us by numbers, our social security numbers, area codes, zip codes, credit card codes, cell phone numbers, and other personal identification numbers all take precedence over our names. But that's not how you know me. It's not how you identify me. You've known me by name. You care about every detail in my life. Before the foundation of the earth, you knew all about me. To you, I'm not a faceless number or a mere cog in the wheel. I'm not just another person in the sea of humanity. I am known and I am loved. Isn't that great news? You are known and you are loved. Your name is written on his hand. And we're talking about different aspects of prayer. You know, I'm telling you, New Year's resolutions, I'm a goal setter. I love goals, but they come and they go, especially when you put it off to the new year. You want to see change in this year ahead. Become a praying person because you have access to God through Jesus Christ. You can come before him in bold assurance and confidence and pray and ask for great things. This next clip is from Will Davis Jr., one of my favorite guests, and he'll be on actually next week. And he's talking here about what it means to pray big. And I pray it stirs up faith in you because God does want you to ask him for some audacious things, things that if he performed in and through your life, people who knew you when or even know you now would step back and go, huh, there has to be a God in heaven because no way did she do that on her own. No way did he accomplish that on his own. And so I pray that today's show stirs up audacious faith in you. Here's Will Davis Jr. Well, let's talk about pray big. What does it mean for the person who didn't hear our past interviews? What does it mean actually to pray big?
I love the concept. It's, for me, probably 7 or 8 years old now and still as fresh as it was when I first started thinking about it. It is the concept simply of praying the kind of prayers that seem to be common, ordinary in Scripture, the kind of prayers that Christ himself prayed, but more importantly, the kind of prayers that expect and ask God to act like God on our behalf. It's not safe praying. It's not convenient praying. It's not what I call God be with Sue, God bless Tom kind of praying. It is very bold, very faith dependent. It is humbling praying, the kind of stuff that asks, again, for God to intervene and do stuff that only he can. And it's normal. It's normal in the Bible.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? So tell me about that landmarker in your life when you first started to press into the Lord in this way, where you engaged your faith and asked for things that only he could provide. And what were, if you don't mind sharing, what were some of the things?
Actually, I wish I could say that I was pressing into him. It was more like he was pressing into me.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you where I was and what I was doing. We had just finished a prayer meeting in our church, and I was walking across the parking lot back to my office, spent 3 hours in prayer, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, well, that was sweet. And I didn't really think that what I was hearing was like complimentary.
I was going to say.
That was really quaint.
I'm sensing
like,
a tone
okay,
here.
So, yeah, what does that mean? And it was like, you just prayed for 3 hours and you didn't ask me of anything that you can't do. So why did you need me at that meeting?
Wow.
And it really, and I've had to think about how we prayed. And we prayed, we had some intimacy with each other. It was definitely a sweet time, but our praying was very, be with Joe this week, he's having a hard time, and bless Tom, and we'll give special blessing. And it was just the cliches of prayer and the language of prayer that we're all used to using, but we didn't fall on our face before God and beg him to do something that only he could do.
Wow.
And that's what prayer is for.
That's right. So then what changed for you then, Will?
Well, I got back in the Word and kind of took the challenge and just began to say, okay, God. And then I went back to the Lord's Prayer and saw those petitions, those imperatives in the Lord's Prayer that all ask things that are biblical. They're things Jesus drew out of the Old Testament imagery, and they're very specific. Daily bread, forgive us our sins, rebuke the enemy on our behalf, let your kingdom come, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I began to pray that way. I began to pray very biblical things in the language of Scripture and very specific things, specifically things I could not do for myself. And, Susie, it transformed my life. It transformed my church. It's transformed my marriage. Mm. It's the coolest thing ever.
Isn't it? And that's
like,
really...
it's prayer.
Yeah.
You know?
But truly, though, we can go through the motions and do the movement without any soul or heart engagement and miss it completely, can't we?
I'm afraid that we can. I'm afraid we kind of go to autopilot in prayer and say really sweet things. We have a prayer language, and I don't mean necessarily the tongue kind. We have a prayer language that is appropriate in church settings, but it's very safe.
Yeah.
And praying should not be safe.
Mm.
It ought to be risky, and it ought to be out there, and because I think we have a God who can do anything.
Yeah.
And so it's changed the way I lead and the way I teach and the way I pray and the way I expect God to respond.
And let's stick with that language thing, because it isn't the language we use and how we say it. It's the faith with which we engage it, right? I mean, and the idea of who God is and who we're talking to with how we speak it.
Yeah, I think that the Lord's Prayer, given it is a model, but even if you just take it at face value, they're simple, short imperatives. Build your kingdom. Do your will.
Mm.
Give daily bread. Forgive our sins. I mean, it's direct and overt and biblical and bold. And, you know, exalt your name. Hallow your name. It's amazing prayer. And if we can learn to pray that way, there's not a lot of flowery language. There's not a lot. I call it fat-free praying. There's not a lot of fluff in the kind of thing Jesus modeled, the kind of prayer he did in Gethsemane when he said, "Take this cup from me." I mean, that's not very wishy-washy.
Right.
It's right there in God's face. God, I don't want to do this, but your will be done. It's an amazing piece of praying.
So
the kind of praying in John 17 where he prays for his disciples and the world and the church and everything else. Anyway, we don't need to worry about how we sound or having King James language. It is the content, more important, even the passion of the prayer that I think most registers with God.
So, so true. When you look at, let's just put two kind of prayer meetings juxtaposed next to each other, one doing the cliche thing, bless Joe's toe and Uncle Mary's knee and whatever. And not to dismiss it, but I mean, I know God cares about his toe, but okay, so you go to the next prayer meeting and it's like you said, you know, may your kingdom come to this community. Lord, restore the marriages in this place. When you start to pull down on the promises of God to see a mighty move that only God could do. Just saying these prayers, you feel the power of God.
Well,
say yes.
Let's go back to Joe's toe for a minute.
Okay.
I think you should pray for Joe's toe. But what do you mean when you say, Lord, bless his toe? I mean, blessing is a biblical concept, but he's already blessed according to Scripture. What do you really want me to do for Joe? I want you to heal Joe's toe, or I want you to give Joe the courage to honor you and exalt you while he's suffering with this toe thing he has. I mean, we can pray for Joe's toe, but let's not be vague and safe by saying God bless him when we have no idea what we even mean by that.
That's a good point.
You know,
so
go to
good.
God on behalf of Joe and do war on behalf of Joe's toe.
That's right.
It.
Yeah, Joe's toe does need healing. We're going to pray for it, right? We've got just a couple minutes here before break, and I want to make sure I get Jerome's call in, and I want to know from you, what is the Lord teaching you? 877-933-2484. Jerome, welcome. We're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Susie. Happy New Year to you. God bless you.
And to you. So what did the Lord teach you this last year?
Well, there's been plenty of challenges. Perseverance was one of the strongest attributes, you know, along with patient endurance, you know. Several of my family members had four or five surgeries during the year, and many of them with complications. And those are the things you don't really expect. And through that, we persevere. We trust God to begin with, pray beforehand for the hand of God to touch us. But then when things don't exactly go right, we still continue on trusting that he will make a way for us.
And that's
where I feel that we should draw from the body of Christ, you know, not only making our requests known and praying for others, but when the time is needed, draw from them, draw from the support that we need from the body of Christ. And that's been a challenge for some of us, you know, extroverts, introverts, you know. So we rejoice that God is the one who's faithful as we persevere.
Boy, Jerome, you sound like a seasoned, mature believer in Christ. And I know a scripture says that we cannot mature without perseverance. And so God is training you and growing you and getting you ready, I think, for something coming up. And so thanks for the call today.
You bet. Good to hear from you again.
And yes, you as well. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're focusing on prayer today. Coming up, we'll have clips from Jim Cimbala, Lisa Bevere, Mark Batterson, and Tommy Barnett, and we'll take your calls. Want to hear what God is teaching you. And we are getting together in God's presence and just hopefully mobilizing you to become a person of great, passionate prayer in the days ahead. Do not go away. We'll be right back. Jesus. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And I believe you're here today by divine appointment because we're talking about prayer. And you know what? We can't please God without faith. And He invites us into a two-way conversation where we speak, we cry out to Him with the desires and concerns of our heart. He talks back to us and He speaks to us and guides us in the way that we should go. But you know what else is? He puts vision in our hearts. When you sit with them long enough, I always say that dreams are conceived through intimacy with God. And they're also achieved through intimacy with God. And really, that's what happens when you sit with Him and say, Lord, do the impossible in and through me. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to do your will. What impossible thing you want to do in and through me? He will be audacious. He will. I mean, you can't even believe some of the new audacious things that I'm dreaming about right now for my city and for the upper Midwest. And I pray constantly for you, the listener, that your marriage would be restored. If you're sick, that you'd be made well. If you've been walking in depression for years, that God would just one day deliver you on the spot and your latter days would be far more blessed than your former. I'm not going to give up until I see Him face to face asking for the moon, asking for a lot of things because there are a lot of needs in our midst. You just heard a clip from Will Davis, and we'll play a few other clips from some of our favorite guests, but this is an excerpt from Will's book. And again, we're having him on next week as we use the whole week next week to look at different aspects of prayer. But here he asks the question, what are you waiting for? He says, God has given us overwhelming evidence of His desire to answer our prayers. He's loaded His word with hundreds of promises, each assuring us that He will come through when we pray. Jesus taught us that God is the great promise keeper, and He loves to answer our prayers. Further, not one time does God establish a minimum significance requirement for our request to merit His attention. Isn't that amazing? Start today, he writes, right now, taking every need, every choice, every concern, every idea, every fear, every hope, every worry, and every dream, regardless of how small you may think it is, bring it to God. Don't leave out anything. Every prayer you pray is a chance for you to get to know God more, to experience His wonderful presence, and to allow Him to show Himself strong on your behalf. He cares about you. He puts dreams in your heart. He has a story that He wants to write in and through you. And become a praying person in the days ahead. We've got some books off of our Faith Radio shelf. All the Kurt Bjorklund books are gone, but we've got a couple copies of Lisa Bevere's Girls with Swords and a few others. So here's my question for you that I'm going to ask before we play our next clip. What did the Lord teach you in this last year? What treasures of wisdom are you taking with you in the years to come, and especially in the months to come? Jerome said perseverance. That's an amazing virtue. Rosamund said how to prevail. And Yvonne said the importance of daily conversation with God. Katerina said the value of worship. And another one, I can't remember her name. I lost it on the screen now. But she talked about the urgency to be praying for our kids. Even if you don't have kids, be praying for our young people today. What's the Lord teaching you? Give me a call, 877-933-2484. So this next clip is from Jim Cimbala. He's just a favorite. Hard to get on the show. We've had him on a few times before. In this clip, he talks about the importance of praying for persecuted Christians. And Jesus specifically did ask us to do that for Him, that we would pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who suffer in ways that we cannot even imagine. Here's a clip from Jim Cimbala.
I met someone the other day, and they said, I heard that you have 2,000 to 3,000 people every Tuesday night in your prayer meeting. I said, that is true. I'm thankful for that. That's amazing. How did you do that? Well, to the early church, that wouldn't have been unusual. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. In prayers, when Peter was thrown in prison later in the book of Acts, they shut down everything, and prayers went up to God from the church. They knew they had to pray him out. They had no money. They had no moral majority, no in with the government. So they just prayed. As Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not give up. Well, that only comes with Spirit-filled, Holy Spirit-contaminated religion, if I could use that. Without that, it's like we've so normalized a bad state of affairs that when anything happens that is New Testament, like people think someone's invented the wheel, and it just shows how we desperately need to get out of lukewarmness.
Mm, indeed. Well, you opened the book, Spirit Rising, with a story of a time you were sitting in a cafe reading a newspaper article. And I know you wrote this book some time ago, but I'm sure you remember the story.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Would you mind sharing that?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I just was speaking for Rabbi Zacharias last Friday night in Scottsdale, Arizona, at his weekend conference, and had his major donors there. And a woman from Pakistan was there, and I told her the story how one day I was just sitting a couple of years ago in a luncheonette in Long Island near Queens, where I was living then, and read on my Kindle from the Washington Post about an attack on some Christians in a little town in Pakistan, and how there had been a wedding the day before, and they used confetti to celebrate the bride and groom. And a rumor got started among the Muslim majority, overwhelming majority, that they had torn up and cut up a Quran to make the confetti. Well, this incited everybody. So they attacked, the Post said, and Washington Post, and it also was in the Times on the front page. They attacked, burnt down all the Christian homes, and I think two believers were killed, including a dad with a bunch of children. Well, as I read it, I don't know why, Susie, but the Holy Spirit just came upon me, and I began to weep. And I'm sitting by myself eating a salad, and I had to face the wall because my tears were so copious that I didn't want anybody to see. I got embarrassed, like this man's losing his mind. And I just wept and thought of the terror of those children as they were chased and people killed, the houses burned down, they lost everything. Thing just stayed with me. I mean, it was something unusual, and I knew it wasn't me. Something was cooking here by the Spirit. Well, I kept all day. It was on my mind. I prayed for the believers there, so on and so forth. And the next day was Tuesday, and I went to church, and I brought my Kindle with me, saved that article, and something I've never done before or since. I brought it up on the platform when my time came to, after praise and worship, to kind of guide the prayer meeting. I said, here's something I want to pray about. And I read the article, and you could hear the pain and the anguish in the audience as they just thought about what's happening to our brothers and sisters in Pakistan, which is not exactly the Bible Belt. So I said, let's get in clusters and begin to pray and just cry out to God for comfort. He's the God of all comfort, for supply. I don't know how to pray, but come on. These are our brothers and sisters. We're going to spend eternity with them. Let's pray. So we went to praying, we're praying, and I'm with two or three other men. And so we get to the end of our time praying together. I just said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I want to take a collection. Can we help these people in a practical way, our brothers and sisters? But I don't know anyone in Pakistan, never been there, don't know a contact. So I said, I don't know what to do. God, lead me. Show me what to do. As I'm walking up the steps back to the microphone, I kind of gather everyone together, say, have your seats, and we're going to move on. Before I could say another word, a man runs down the middle aisle and says, Pastor, a woman in the back. And there, back at that time, there was maybe 1,000, 1,500 people in the prayer meeting. And I didn't know what he was talking about. Woman, Pakistan. I said, Pakistan? So here we are on a summer night in downtown Brooklyn, and there's some lady visiting from Pakistan. So they bring her up to the front, and I almost dropped over, Susie, because as I put the microphone down so nobody could hear what we were saying, I said, who are you, ma'am? I'm a pastor's wife. I'm visiting from Pakistan. I said, you're from the country that we just prayed for. She said, no, it's more than that. My husband and my son are both ministers, and they are the first responders and are in the town that you just talked about.
Wow.
They're in that town. Well, when I told the people that, you could hear just the sound you made, Susie, but multiplied by all those folks, people just going, like, no, this can't be. You can't even make that up. The odds are a billion to one. Well, I told the people that. We collected like $10,000 that night to send to our brothers and sisters. We vetted it through our CFO the next day. He called the pastor and so on and so forth. So here was the Holy Spirit putting together something that you couldn't even make up. God wanted us to not only pray for them, but to send practical help. He gave us the connection and all of that.
Just like that. God does invite us. He invites us to pray for those who are putting themselves in harm's way for the sake of the gospel. And when you pray, you're going to sense God's yes in your spirit because you're praying his heart. And you've heard me talk quite often about Pastor Saeed Abedini, his darling wife, Nagame, who's back here in the States with her two kids. He's been in prison for over a year now. He is infested with lice head to toe. He's got internal bleeding. He's in dire, dire straits, being deprived of medicine. He's been robbed at knife point twice just for his shampoo and is suffering greatly, all for going to Iran and sanctioned by the government to help build an orphanage. And he's paying a severe, dear price for his love for Jesus and for his love for the people from his homeland. And so please be praying for Saeed. We're praying that God would deliver him. Well, here's a prayer by Kurt Bjorklund from the book Prayers for Today that I've been referencing. Listen to this. I pray you would give me a heart for those who, for whatever reason, are not in the mainstream of life, for those who lie crumpled and cast aside, for those who are forgotten and ignored, for those who are in some way blinded to the fullness of life. Help me not turn a deaf ear when they call out. Help me to stop regardless of what the crowd may say. Help me to give them my undivided attention. Help me to give myself to them as you did, to show mercy, to do what I can. Although I may not be able to loose them from their chains or free them from their separate prisons, help me to visit faithfully so that they may know that someone cares. Help me to bring a meal so they may be nourished. Help me to say a kind word so they may be encouraged. Help me to give a gentle touch so they may be comforted. Help me to lend a listening ear so their stories may be heard. Help me whenever, wherever, and however I can to bring light to someone who sits in darkness. That was by Ken Geyer out of Kurt Bjorklund's book. And so you might not be called to a faraway field to put yourself in harm's way for the sake of the gospel, but as Ken wrote here, remember the person who's on the side of the road. Remember the person the rest of the world will overlook and share Jesus with them. So pray for your persecuted brothers and sisters, but keep your eyes open for those that everyone else overlooks. Okay, the next clip you're going to hear will be from Lisa Bevere. And man, she's always a favorite to have on the show. What a firecracker she is. And here in this clip, she's talking about the power of the sword. The sword is our spirit of God, the word of God in our hand. Listen to what Lisa has to say.
I loved it when I studied the word of God through the dynamic of fencing, through the dynamic of warriors, that there is a difference between a warrior and a soldier. And the making of a soldier and the making of a warrior is very different. Soldiers are trained, and warriors are tempered. And, you know, the tempering of a warrior, and again, I'm not talking about our military. We are so thankful for our military. I'm not dishonoring when I say soldier. I'm not talking about enlisted. I'm talking about understanding the difference between being drafted and being grafted. When you get born again, you are grafted into the family of God. And now there's not just a battle that's distant and remote. It becomes a spiritual battle. It becomes a family honor. It becomes you are standing representing light and you see darkness. You see bondage of people different. You don't just see people, you know, as, oh, isn't that funny what they're doing? Or isn't that evil what they're doing? But you begin to see people that need to be rescued. You begin to say, I must be a warrior for life. You know, and soldiers know how to take life, but warriors know how to give it. And so we need to be people who understand that God is tempering his people to be warriors, because we know from Exodus 15:3 that the Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. That's the name of God. God is the original warrior. He is a man of war, and that means all of his children have that DNA woven into the fabric of their being. And that's just where we need to be. We need to begin to fight for life. You know, Jesus, when he gave us that influence and authority, he actually gave us, his name. Then he gave us his perspective. He said, okay, listen, this is the way it is. You're now seated. You're now seated, not on earth. You're seated in heavenly places. But then he gave us his language, because this is what he's saying. He's saying, this is what I need you to do. I need you to begin to speak your way into your destiny. I need you to understand that there is a language of heaven that actually created everything you know on earth. And all of the earth is programmed to respond to the language or the sounds of its creator. And so he said, I'm going to give you a language. I'm going to give you a perspective, and I'm going to give you my name. A lot of people don't understand this. It's almost like they think Jesus lent us his name. Do you know the Bible says in the book of Revelations that Jesus is coming back and he has a new name? Yeah. And that name is tattooed on his thighs. I mean, I know a lot of people will freak out about that. But the truth is, he has a new name because he's going to have a new position. And he is saying, this is what I'm going to do. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So I'm giving it to you. But we're supposed to use what he gives us to exercise his will. But, you know, we're humans. And we kind of get confused about what is his will, what is our will. So what he said is, you don't even have to figure it out. My word is my will. You need to pray my word. You need to speak my word. And I will watch over my word to perform it. You know, a lot of people, I get a little pullback on that. They're like, wait a minute. Is this that word of faith, name it, claim it thing? Because I don't like that. Well, the truth is, we're going to have to use the word of God to do things. And if we need things to do things, God will add those things to us. But the word of God is what God promises to watch over to perform, not our prayers, not our worries, not our whining. He says he will watch over his word to perform it. And so we have authority when we pray according to his will. Mm-hmm. We know that we will have what we ask for. That's what the book of James
says.
That's right. He says if we don't get it, it's because we have asked amiss, because we are wanting to heap it on our own lusts and desires. God gives man and women authority on this earth so that we can function on behalf of others, not to benefit ourselves.
Mm, so good. That was Lisa Bevere. I'm going to read another excerpt from Will Davis Jr.'s book, Pray Big, and this is talking about serious prayer. Listen to this. Spiritual walls are torn down in prayer. Captives are set free through prayer. Mountains are blown away by prayer. The kingdom is built one prayer at a time. Prayer is indeed the fuel of God's kingdom, but prayer never happens in a vacuum. Prayers don't fall off a prayer tree. Prayers happen only when there is a prayer. The person who prays becomes a player in the highest stakes game in all of history. Praying people disengage from the temporal to focus on the eternal. They set aside earthly desires to seek heavenly ones. And through the mechanism of prayer, they become enlisted warriors in the battle of the ages. Big, hairy, audacious praying isn't just a pastime or hobby for the truly spiritually minded. It's the tool of choice for the true kingdom builders. I pray with all my heart that you are stirred up to pray. And as you start to pray about things big and small, and then you lean in and you listen and you watch and you stand and knock because God is moving, it gives you an appetite for the impossible, an appetite to engage God in every detail of your life, because the Bible does say that he cares about every detail of your life. We're going to play one final clip, and this is from Tommy Barnett. And we had him on recently, and one of the questions I asked him is, I can't remember if I asked him or if he said someone else asked him, but it was about dreaming bigger dreams and taking bigger risks. Here's the clip from Tommy Barnett.
And when I started the Dream Center, and I went over with nothing but my little boy, and I thought of all the things that could happen. How are we going to be able to raise the money for it? We had nothing whatsoever. Second, I thought, you know, if we fail, what are my critics going to say? They're going to say, well, Barnett was a fool. And the third thing I thought about is, you know, hurting people sometime can be dangerous people. They look at a place like the Dream Center and think, well, they've been able to do this, so they have money, which we don't. And oftentimes, suits came. And one day I was worrying about it. I couldn't sleep at night thinking about all the things that were there. And a lot of people don't start ministries like this in church anymore because they're afraid of lawsuits. And God spoke to me and said, I want you to go and train your people the best you can so that you won't have these things to come against you. But the second thing I want you to do is to get all the insurance you can to protect yourself. And the fourth thing I want you to do is just go for it. Go for it. Because everything you are and everything you'll ever be, it's always been my hand in it anyway. And I'm the one that gets the glory. So we just decided we were not going to live in fear. We were going to step out in faith. And Susie, literally the Dream Center has been paid for by Matthew and I giving 30-minute little tours every week, hundreds of them, to people, just telling them our dream and our goal, not even asking them for a penny. But 30-minute little tours have built a Dream Center.
So beautiful. We just have a few minutes left, and I want to talk about the whole idea of this time with God, which you address in the book. And I love this. In fact, I posted it and quoted you on my Facebook. It says, 30 minutes alone with God will change your life. The beauty of such a commitment is that any time you have a free half hour is time you can use to pursue an intimate connection with God. Would you explain how time in God's presence actually changes us and makes us more productive?
Oh, I'd love to do that. That's one of my favorite subjects. You know, in the morning, several years ago, I made a commitment that the first one that I would talk to in the morning, before I talked to my wife, my family, or anyone, would be God. Just a short conversation. Holy Spirit, you're my prayer partner. And so, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you today. Lead me and guide me. Bring people in my life that I need to meet. Take me to places I need to go. I get in the car and I pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, guide my path, the way I drive to work today. When I'm dressing, I pray, Holy Spirit, you know, what should I wear that would be appropriate for this day? Because, see, the Holy Spirit is my prayer partner. Before I go to God, I go to the Holy Spirit and I say, Holy Spirit, you're my prayer partner. I'm going to go to the Father in just a minute, like we're taught in the Bible. But since you're my prayer partner, I want to run off some of my requests to you. Maybe you can help me filter them out. Holy Spirit, I need that new Brioni suit that I saw at Neiman Marcus. Holy Spirit speaks back to my heart and says, well, you need a new suit, but that Dillard suit is good enough. Well, Holy Spirit, I saw a Bentley that looks pretty good. I think I need that. Holy Spirit would say, you need a new car, but that SUV, that's good enough for you. He filters out my stupid request. And then I take the Holy Spirit with me to the Father. And I say, God, I bring my prayer request to you. And I tell God everything that I need. But then I run out of things to say. And the Holy Spirit breaks in with groanings that I know not of. And he tells the Father what I really need, things I didn't even know that I needed. And he gives me things that I enjoy that I didn't even think that I needed or enjoy. You see, the Holy Spirit is my prayer partner. And he knows really better than I do what I need. And then, after spending time with the Father and my prayer partner, the Holy Spirit, I then get in the Word of God. And I read the Word of God. And then the next thing after reading the Word of God is I walk around on the side of the mountain behind our church. And I don't say a thing. I just say, Father, I've talked enough. Please speak to me. And Susie, with all the burdens that a pastor carries, and we all carry them, there have been times that I had burdens that were so big, I didn't know how to deal with them. But I have never gone to the mountain behind the church and taken my problem to God and spent time musing and meditating. That when I came down from the mountain, I either had the answer or I could cope with them. So I'm saying to you, the reason we don't build bigger dreams is we don't have time to listen to God. And I'm asked again and again, at the age of 76, Pastor, if you could look back over your life, do you have anything you'd change or any regrets? There are two things I would change. Number one, I would have dreamed bigger. And the second thing is I would have taken bigger risk, because I have learned that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And in those 30-minute times that you give to God, where you don't limit him, he can change your life.
Mm. Love that, Tommy Barnett. What a dear, dear man. With that in mind, I want you just to pause for a minute and think about what audacious, amazing, kingdom-moving thing would God want to do in and through you. Here's another, one last excerpt from Will Davis's book, Pray Big. Why do you suppose Jesus spoke almost to the point of redundancy about prayer? Why was he so emphatic about it? Jesus knew that his disciples' success depended on prayer and that they would never see any impact for the kingdom without it. He knew the kind of supernatural power that prayer would make available to them. He also knew that his church would never be built without it. In short, Jesus expected his disciples to pray. He expects the same of us. Are you praying big, hairy, audacious prayers? Do you regularly go before God seeking kingdom-level answers? Do your prayers require the best of God? As a follower of Christ, you need to know that you're on solid biblical ground when you're seeking a miraculous thing from God. You also need to know that all the divine power of the Creator of the universe stands ready to move when you pray. I'm going to leave you. Instead of praying, I'm going to read an excerpt finally out of Jesus Calling. And I just love this by Sarah Young. It says, I'm your best friend. This is God speaking to you, as well as your King. Walk hand in hand with me through your life. Together we'll face whatever each day brings, pleasures, hardships, adventures, disappointments. Nothing is wasted when it's shared with me. I can bring beauty out of ashes of lost dreams. I can glean joy out of sorrow, peace out of adversity. Only a friend who is also the King of Kings could accomplish this divine alchemy. There is no other like me. The friendship I offer you is practical and down to earth, yet it's saturated with heavenly glory. Living in my presence means living in two realms simultaneously, the visible world and unseen eternal reality. I've equipped you to stay conscious of me while walking along the dusty earthbound path. Pray that you found encouragement today, and I pray that you start to pray big and believe big. God is big. Let it go. Today's show, I loved it because I love talking about prayer. I hope you were encouraged today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Suzy Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Don't forget to click on that, what you're praying for in 2014. We want to hear your heartbeat. We want to know what's on your heart so we can pray for you and plan better shows in the days ahead. Well, tomorrow I'll be talking to Stephen Mansfield about the art of manhood. He's always a fabulous guest. Everyday Relationships is next. We'll be taking your calls on whatever's on your mind. And finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end.